Thank you, Doug, and thank you, Carol. Well, we've had quite a week, haven't we? We spent the first day, roughly, talking about the utterance manifestations, tongues with interpretation and prophecy. Then we spent about a day on word of knowledge and word of wisdom, two of the revelation manifestations. Then we spent pretty much all of yesterday on the third revelation manifestation, discerning of spirits. So that leaves three manifestations we've only mentioned but haven't covered in detail. And those are what we call the impartation or the power or the action manifestations, where we put what we learn, receive by revelation into action, into imparting deliverance to people. Those, of course, are faith or believing, miracles and healing or gifts of healings. And we'll give you a brief introduction to those three this morning, and then we'll spend the rest of today and most of tomorrow elaborating on that. So if you don't come out knowing everything about the impartation manifestations in the next 40 minutes, don't be shocked. But we'll try to lay down a few principles, read a few verses, and sort of get started. And then it will make more sense as we go into more and more. I know Joe Laverty here is a high school math teacher. I don't know about you, but whenever I heard math lectures, and I enjoyed math and was pretty good at it, but I almost never understood it in the lecture. But then when I went home by about the third homework problem, I finally said, that's what the teacher was talking about. And it's like that with a lot of these things in the Word. As we look at the records in the Word where these things occur, everything will start to click. So let's just be patient with ourselves. These are fields where we've all heard things, we've all read things, we've all had different experiences in life. But we're just going to try to see what the Word says now. And then how all these other things fit in will come. Just be patient. First of all, these three manifestations, they are the action, power, and impartation manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These are the application of the revelation manifestations, producing the desired results. Now, the first one is believing. Now, this is special renewed mind believing, according to the revelation of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And I'm not sure if special is the right word, but think of it this way. When you receive things by your five senses, whether it's reading the Bible, hearing somebody teach the Bible, and you believe what you hear, that's regular believing. We sometimes call it renewed mind believing. You put the word on in your mind, you believe it. Well, when you receive something by revelation and believe that, now you're using, you're stepping it up to a kind of believing on steroids, you might say, where you now are believing the revelation, and that's referred to as the manifestation of believing. This is where you'll get revelation, you'll believe it and walk out on it, and all of a sudden you have a confidence and a believing that you didn't have there with your normal renewed mind believing. It's a little hard to describe in words, but as you read the records in the Bible where people operate the power of God very confidently, you'll see that it's a little more than regular renewed mind believing. It's very similar, except it's based on receiving revelation as opposed to what you receive by your five senses. It, as we'll also see, it inspires believing in others. And we'll see more records of this as we go through it. Workings of miracles is where you bring the impossible to pass by the manifestation of believing according to what God has revealed it, has revealed to you. You bring the impossible to pass by the manifestation of believing according to what God has revealed to you. So God has revealed something to you, and you bring the impossible to pass. And by impossible, we mean things that by the five senses wouldn't be possible. You couldn't, by your natural abilities, by your intellect, by the technology we have in this world, by all the other things in the natural world, it's impossible to do. But you bring it to pass anyway. And the reason you can bring it to pass is you have revelation. You believe and walk out on that revelation. And as you do that, you're using the manifestation of believing, and you are working a miracle. Then the impossible comes to pass. And we'll see some examples of it. And it's really important to understand this, because there are some things just by your renewed mind believing you can't do. I think of a time a couple of years ago, this is probably 20 years ago now, but I knew a believer who was just very dissatisfied with the government and political situations, which would include probably 90% of the country. So, I mean, this is not unique. But this person was so upset. She said she was going to pray for a big fissure in the ground to open up and swallow Washington, D.C., so it disappeared altogether. And that's what she was praying for and believing for. And a friend of mine who understood these manifestations a little better, and this woman who said this should have known this, he said, well, that's sort of like impossible. It's like a miracle. It's like something that you couldn't normally pray for. Where does it say in the Bible that's available to pray for your capital city to disappear? Did you get revelation? Now, it could be that if God said Washington is going to disappear, I mean, there are places like that. He said Sodom and Gomorrah was going to burn up, and it did. He said that Nineveh would burn up, but they repented, and God changed his mind because they repented, and it didn't burn up. So there are places where God's given revelation like that. So he went to this woman and said, did you get revelation? No, she just didn't like certain things in the government. So she felt the answer was, make it all go away. Well, she didn't have the revelation. And Washington is still there, which is good, because I work there, and I really wouldn't like it if it got swallowed up. And other questions about, well, what would happen now? You think government's bad? What would we do with anarchy? I mean, that's another question. We're not here to debate politics. We'll just pray for those leaders. But the point is, to bring the impossible to pass, you need revelation. You need to operate the manifestation of believing, which is believing that revelation. And then you need to operate the manifestation of workings of miracles. You need to then act on that revelation. Then the third impartation manifestation is gifts of healings. Now, it's important to realize here that God wants us to be healed. We know verses. We'll read a few of them later on if we have time when we close, about how by Christ's stripes we are healed. God wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health. And look at the number of ways God has made available for people to be healed. The human body will heal itself. Some of the teenagers were showing me, you know, the great battle scars they had from slip and slide yesterday in soccer. Well, left to themselves, if they keep those little wounds clean, they'll be gone in a few days. If lucky, for their fortune, they'll have a little battle scar to show. See, look what I did at camp. But the human nature of the human body is to heal itself. I mean, there are herbs that people use to help their bodies heal, many of which have been refined into medicines that help people heal. We have Holy Communion, where we remember and remind ourselves of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that helps us believe for healing. And there are many other things, ways we can pray for one another. It says in James, you know, if anybody's sick, let the elders anoint their head with oil and pray for them. We can pray for each other. There are many, many things. But in addition to all that, there's also the manifestation of gifts of healings. And this manifestation, like the other impartation manifestations, is based on receiving revelation, operating the manifestation of believing to believe that revelation, and then operating the manifestation of gifts of healings. And if it's an instantaneous healing, it will also include the manifestation of workings of miracles. So that is a very powerful type of healing available. But all the other types of healing are also valid and also wonderful. And that's important, because sometimes you'll run into somebody that's so excited about one aspect of healing, that's all they want to talk about. Well, they're all important. God's provided them all, and all healing ultimately comes from God. So I don't get too worried about how somebody gets healed. I'm just delighted that people trust God and get the healing. And like we said with Revelation, God will work with different people differently. He may, and different people in the body will be stronger at different things. We're all different. Some people will just naturally have great believing and great confidence to operate the manifestation of gifts of healings. Other people will be very good at simply praying at home, and as they pray, they get better. Other people may not be that good in either one and may have a problem believing, but they will trust God and find excellent medical attention, and that's what will help them. Other people may go to a Holy Communion service and be so inspired by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, they'll receive healing there. And I don't get too worried about how people receive. I just encourage people to pray and believe that they will get the healing they need. And God will help them in whatever way works for them, wherever their believing is. God will meet you right where you are. But just never get the idea that because you got healed this way instead of that way, somehow you're not as good a believer or you're a better believer. No, God will supply your need in a way that works for you. And what we're here today, though, is to read about the manifestation of gifts of healings and understand that. Now I'm going to read some records, and we're going to sort of put all the records of all three of these impartation manifestations. We're going to read records that often include all three. You can't really teach manifestation of believing without looking at manifestation of miracles. And you can't teach about the gifts of healings without looking at the first two as well, because many of the records include all three. So we'll start with a few records here, see if we can see one or two or three of these manifestations in evidence. And then again, we'll keep at it today and tomorrow. So be patient. Be patient, because each one of us has a certain aspect of this that is very important to us. And if we don't cover it in the first 40 minutes, it doesn't mean we're ignoring it. Hang in there. We'll cover as much as we can now. Then as the days go by, we'll cover more. Keep discussing it in your hour of power. If there are things that still don't make sense to you, feel free to talk to us, and we'll do what we can to cover it. Mark 11 and verse 23. For verily I say unto you, Mark 11:23. For verily, oh, by the way, there are other things. Like, for instance, when we saw the woman that came up and touched the hem of Jesus Christ's garment and was healed. Well, Jesus Christ didn't minister to her. She believed that if she touched the garment, she'd be healed. So it's not an example of him operating the manifestation of gifts of healings. It's a matter of her being so convinced, in essence, praying in her own life and believing God's promises in her own life, that when she touched his garment, she was healed. And so you'll see many different ways that healing works. What we're trying to do is understand the principles from the Word, and then God will work with you in your life in a way that works for you. You know, I've had certain ways these manifestations have worked very effectively in my life. They might work a little differently in somebody else's life. God may communicate with you in a different way, but the more we understand the Word and we see some of the types of ways God has worked with people, the more confidence we'll have to trust that he'll help us. So Mark 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, the idea of throwing a mountain into the ocean, that is something that you can do with believing. But based on every other record in the Word I've read, this would have to be based on Revelation. Then look what it says in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Another verse. If this is just anything I want, well, what if I want Washington, D.C. to fall into the fissure in the earth? Well, that can't be right. Well, why not? Because there's nothing in the Bible saying I can just decide a city's going to disappear. So when we read a verse like this, remember that principle of biblical research that the difficult verse must be understood in light of the clear and simple verse? All the verses have to fit. Well, keep your finger here and go to 1 John. There's a verse in here somewhere about this. Something about whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. Chapter 3 or 4. I have a race to find it here. There we go. I think I win. Verse 22, chapter 3. Of course, I had a head start. It wasn't really fair. 1 John 3. No, that's not it. 5:14? Dang, you guys are good. Okay, thank you. Okay, 1 John 5:14. Glad my Holy Spirit isn't dependent on that. I would have lost it right there. Okay, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? His will, he heareth us. Ask anything according to his will. So I can ask anything I want, as long as it's according to his will. Well, how do I know his will? Well, the word of God is the will of God. That's the place to start. And well, that is it. It's either the written word or revelation. So if God promises he's going to supply my need, I can pray with absolute confidence he's going to supply my need. Now, do I know he's going to supply my need with a red Mustang? Not unless he tells me. Now, I can save my money and go buy a red Mustang, but if I want God to drop one out of the sky for me or get it for $10, I don't know that that's available unless God tells me. You pray for a red Mustang for $10, and it'll be here on Tuesday. Well, I'll pray for that, because now it's according to his will. He's told me. But until then, I can pray for him to supply my need. And he will supply my need. Now, it might be with a brown Volvo, which could happen a lot here in California. So let's go back to Matthew. Mark, where were we, Mark? Thank you. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. Whatever we pray according to his will. We know his will by the written word, and we know it by revelation. But to do something that is physically impossible, like throwing a mountain into the sea, is going to take revelation. And the point of this whole record is to show that the power of God is so great, and believing God's word is so powerful, that you could throw a mountain into the ocean. I mean, God made the mountains. He really can pick one up and throw it in there. And if he tells you to pray for that, go right ahead. Operate that power. Operate the manifestation of believing, manifestation of miracles. Tell that mountain to jump in the lake, and it will go. But most of the things we get revelation for are not quite as dramatic. But they could be that dramatic. Look at another one, Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And it's really pretty simple. We read these records in the Word, we see the principles in the Word, and then we just speak in tongues and listen to God, and we grow. And we keep growing. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. So even though Jesus Christ spent much time teaching and ministering, he still needed time with God. And that is really good to remember. Because it is possible to get so into doing the work of the Lord, we forget to take time to fellowship with God, our Heavenly Father. And it's really important. If Jesus Christ needed to get away with God, I think maybe you and I need that too. And again, how you do it's up to you. But you've got to find time in your schedule and a place where you can be peaceful to spend time with God. So here we go. He goes up in the mountain part to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, in the middle of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now, it's physically impossible to walk on water unless it's in the middle of the winter. If it's liquid water, it's physically impossible. You step on the water, you sink. So the fact that he's doing something that's physically impossible tells me it's the manifestation of workings of miracles, which means he must have had revelation. God said, go take a walk on the water. He operated the manifestation of believing, manifestation of workings of miracles, and there he went. Let's keep reading. And in the fourth, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. I could see that if I was out in a boat and I was having a hard time just keeping it from tipping over because of the wind, and all of a sudden this guy was walking across the water, that would shake you up. Nobody had ever seen that before. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, chill out, guys. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. So now Peter had the word of the Lord, spoken by Jesus Christ. It wasn't by revelation or by the written word, but it was spoken by the Son of God. So it was in essence the same thing, the word of God spoken by Jesus Christ. So now he has the word of God saying, walk on water. Now he's got to operate the manifestation of believing, workings of miracles. And a lot of these things, you're not conscious of going through the mechanics. It's not like going down a checklist. Okay, fuel pump's on, check. Battery's good, check. It's not like that. Sometimes you operate them all at once, but it's important for us to know them. If it weren't important, why would have God told us these manifestations exist? It's important for us to understand them, but then many times in the operation of them, it's just all at once. It's just like, you know, you go and you jump over a rock. Think of the things that happen. I'm no expert on kinesiology like some of yours know about, but you've got this muscle and that joint and this bone, and they're all working at once, and about 23 things are happening in your body all at one time, so you can jump over the rock. They've all got to happen at the same time or you fall over, but all you know is I'm jumping. And in operating manifestations, many times the same thing. You hear the word of the Lord and you go act on it. And several manifestations are in operation at the same time. But all you're really thinking about is, God said do this, I'm doing it. That's all you need to know. I'm just doing it. And sometimes you don't even know you get revelation. And that's another interesting thing when it comes to healing. People have great debates. Do you need revelation to operate the manifestation of gifts of healings or don't you? Well, a lot of times you're just moving. You just go and you just know to go up to this person and say, get up in the name of Jesus Christ. And there was all kinds of revelation, workings of miracles, you know, gifts of healings, manifestation of believing, and you don't even notice it because you're just doing it. But it's important to see that the word talks about these things so we can understand them. So where were we in this great record? And Peter answered him, verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he operated those manifestations. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. So as long as Peter kept his eye on the word of the Lord, which said, come, he walked on water. When he started looking around at the circumstances, he doubted and sank. And that's the same thing in operating the manifestations. You, the one operating them, have to believe the revelation and not be distracted by the five senses. And in something like manifestation of gifts of healings, the other person you're ministering to has got to believe as well. And many times, and I talked to some of you about it, this camp who've been through similar circumstances very recently. When you're ministering to somebody, it's got to be a time where that person is believing and you're believing. Then God can say, okay, go minister. Now, if it's the record like we read with the Shunammite woman's son, where the Shunammite woman is dead, her son was dead. Obviously, the son can't believe. But the person ministering has to believe, and it might require the believing of the parents as well. So there are a few situations where somebody is either so mentally deranged or so possessed or dead that that person's believing is not required. But it definitely takes the believing of the person ministering and sometimes of the others. There was the young man who was wallowing on the ground foaming in the Gospels, and the father came to Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, can you help my son?" And Jesus Christ said, "All things are possible if you believe." So the father's believing was necessary, along with Jesus Christ's, for the young man to be delivered from the devil spirit, which resulted in his healing. So all of these things are involved. And we're going to see the principles in the Word, and then you all are going to go forth and operate them in your lives. Not under pressure with somebody coming down and using a checklist on you, but by you just praying, looking to God, desiring to operate them, desiring to bring deliverance to people, and God very patiently and very lovingly working with you and showing you how you can do these things in your life. It's a great life. It's a wonderful thing. So 2 Kings 4, I think we read that yesterday, so you won't have to turn there now. That's Elijah when he's there with the Shunammite woman's son. It took him some time. He didn't just walk in. He tried sending Gehazi, his servant, in with his staff. And whether that was revelation or just something that had worked before, I honestly don't know. But it didn't bring the result. So he went in, got everybody out of the room, laid himself down on the child, which again must have been revelation, because you don't normally lie down on a corpse. But he did. The child's flesh waxed warm. Then he paced back and forth. He prayed. He wasn't obviously waiting for the child to believe, but it must have taken either him getting his believing up to where he was settled down enough he could listen to God, or until God knew he was ready and God told him. It doesn't really say. But for whatever reason, it took time. It took time. Then when the time was right, his believing was there, the revelation was there, he laid down on the child the second time, and the child sneezed 7 times. And came back alive. So you see, that's what it takes with these manifestations. You have to start with the revelation, operate the manifestation of believing, which is sort of a special kind of believing where you believe the revelation as opposed to something you get by the 5 senses, and then the manifestation of workings of miracles and gifts of healings. Now, sometimes healings are instantaneous, which is generally a working of miracles. Sometimes, by ministering, you remove the cause, and then the body naturally heals itself. And this is one of the interesting things. There could be something wrong in your spine that causes your big toe to itch, literally, or something wrong in your brain that makes your knee hurt. And I'm no expert on all the medical connections, but the body is very complex. And something in one part of the body might cause pain or something wrong in another part of the body. So don't get nervous if somebody, you know, comes in and says their ankle hurts and God tells you to minister to something in their, I don't know, another part of the body, spine or stomach or head or something. That could happen. And there may be no results right away. But by fixing that thing in the spine, now the ankle can heal up. And a week later might be perfectly fine. So we don't worry. We don't get anxious. We just work along with what God shows us, and we be confident that God will take care of the person. And then we keep praying for the person afterwards, because there may be a period of recovery after you minister. So here we go, Acts chapter 9. And again, I know we mentioned this, I think, the other day. The Gospels are full of records where Jesus Christ just walks in and says, "Get up." It doesn't say he got revelation. It doesn't say he didn't. It doesn't say he prayed. It doesn't say he didn't. But we know a few things. He says, "Everything I do according to my Father's will." Which tells me he was getting an awful lot of revelation if everything he did was God's will. The other thing is we know he spent a lot of time praying. We just read about it. So prayer and revelation were huge parts of his life. It just doesn't say in those records of healing whether they were involved at the time or whether he'd gotten himself so prepared ahead of time that they just sort of flowed naturally. but they clearly were a huge part of his life. But in these records of some other people, like Elijah and Peter and Paul, it actually talks about the time they spent praying while they were ministering. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa, a city on the coast near modern-day Tel Aviv, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. Do we have a certain disciple here named Tabitha? I think we do. Okay. Which, by interpretation, is called Dorcas. So if you want another translation of your name, there it is. Which, of course, means gazelle. Do you like to hop over things? Okay. This woman was full of good works, just like our Tabitha, and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Don't do that. Whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. So this wonderful woman in the fellowship named Tabitha died. So they washed her and laid her in a chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth. He didn't want to be distracted by the five senses. He didn't want the confusion they were bringing. He just put them all out. And he kneeled down and prayed. How long did he pray? I don't know. Could have been 10 seconds. Could have been 2 hours. We don't know. But he prayed. Now, praying does a lot of things. It's always good to pray for God's will to come to pass. Many times that alone will bring about the healing. But I think it's pretty clear in the context, he was getting himself calmed down and asking for revelation. Because look what he does next. He kneeled down and prayed, and turning into the body said, "Tabitha, arise." So to command something impossible for a dead body to get up, which physically is impossible, that's the manifestation of workings of miracles, which requires the manifestation of believing, which requires revelation, and also obviously the manifestation of gifts of healings. Because all healing is a gift of God, no matter how it comes about. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive. It was known throughout all Joppa, many believed in the Lord, and it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. So it's great to see all those manifestations here in operation. Look at Acts 14, verse 8. Acts 14, verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent, crippled in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him. Paul steadfastly beheld him. He intently observed him, and perceiving that he had faith, believing to be healed. Well, how could you look at somebody and know they have believing to be healed? Revelation. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. God told him, this guy is ready. His believing is there. You can go minister to him now. So what did he do? He said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. So you can always pray for people. But to operate these manifestations does take revelation. And again, sometimes it's obvious and you know it. Other times it's what we sometimes refer to as inspired action or inspired utterance. The revelation just comes so quickly and so clearly that you don't even realize it's revelation. You just get the thought, you act on it, the person's healed. You may not know it was revelation, but that's what it takes to operate the manifestation of gifts of healings, miracles, and believing. Acts 28, verse 7. And I love reading the records and the Gospels about our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll read more of them this week. What a great example he was as our Lord and Savior. But frankly, I get even more out of the ones in the book of Acts, because they were people that were born again, moving around, teaching God's word like we are. And again, as I said the other day, I do not put myself in the category of the Apostle Paul or Peter. But if I were going to be closer to somebody, I think I'd be a little closer to those guys than I would be to Jesus Christ. So their example to me personally is even more helpful. Acts 28, verse 7. In the same quarter were possessions of the chief man of the island. I think this is where they landed on Malta after the, after the shipwreck. They were on their way to Rome, and it's a shipwreck, just as God told Paul would happen. So here they were on Malta. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed. So he went in and he prayed. First thing he did was pray. Now again, was he waiting for revelation? Was he waiting for his believing to be there? Was he praying for the fellow so he'd believe? I don't know. But he went and he prayed, and then laid his hands on him and healed him. See, one way I have particularly found successful in my life is if somebody comes to me and wants me to pray for them or minister to them, I start to pray for them. And then as God shows me things, then I minister in the name of Jesus Christ. If God doesn't show me anything, I don't. I just continue to pray for them. And I will pray that they feel better, and I'll pray that they get healed. But I don't, say in the name of Jesus Christ, fix that elbow or whatever it may be. And many times the way I get the revelation is I feel a pain in my head. And that's God showing me the person I'm praying for has a pain in their head. And then I command that their head be healed. And then I have a pain in my knee. And I command in the name of Jesus Christ that that right knee be healed and all the ligaments firm up the way they should. And then when there's no more pains anywhere in my body, everything's covered, and I say amen. Now that particularly has worked for me. Now God may communicate with you that way. He may communicate with you in another way. God will find a way to work with you. As we saw when we looked at the revelation manifestations the other day, God will communicate in many different ways. And what we do is we simply pray. And a great thing, Doug was saying, he wanted to understand discerning of spirits. He started praying about it, that he would, and after a while he even forgot that he'd prayed for it. I've done that with so many things in my life. When I was in high school, I was scared to death to teach a fellowship of 4 people. I'd shake at the thought. But I prayed that I would be able to boldly and confidently speak God's word to help God's people understand his word. And then every chance I had to teach and speak, I did. And then I forgot that I'd prayed for it because I got so into working on it. Then I looked back 6 months later and said, wow, I'm not scared to teach anymore. Because I got so into it, I forgot I'd pray. And do this in parts of your life. If you're not confident in ministering healing, picture yourself confidently ministering healing. Pray. Ask God that he'll show you how. Help you. Read the words. Just open up your concordance. Look up the word heal. Read all the sections. And just ask God to show you. And he will work with you in a way that works for you. And after a while, what is sort of mysterious and difficult and scary becomes normal, and you become very confident. You can do that in any part of your life. So God will work with you. So what did he do? Let's keep reading. I didn't finish here. Acts 28, verse 8. Came to pass, the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Now, just to reiterate, some healings will be instantaneous. Some, the cause will be removed and will be followed by gradual recovery. Sometimes you'll pray for people and the revelation will be, go to the doctor. Because for whatever reason, the person doesn't have the believing to get the healing by believing and operating the manifestations, so do that. Sometimes the revelation will be sleep. Sometimes the revelation will be eat a certain thing or drink a certain thing. Whatever it is, do it. Remember when the sons of the prophets were eating the stew, the pottage, and they said, there's death in the pot. Well, the man of God threw some flour in and stirred it up, and they were better. Who would have thought? That was clearly the revelation. Throw flour in and stir it up. It doesn't matter how it is or what the revelation is. What matters is you trust God, you listen to God, you do what he says, and the deliverance is there. And if there's no revelation, just keep praying. Now, another thing to realize is there's three basic ways of healing we usually think of in our life. We call them first aid, second aid, and third aid. First thing you do, you pray to be healthy and not get sick. If you find yourself with any kind of illness, pray to God directly. By Christ's stripes, you were healed. It's God's will that you be healed, and you can pray and ask God for healing directly. And in many situations, that's all you need to do. The next thing is what we call second aid. Go to another believer. Ask them to pray or minister to you. And that believer can pray for you, and if that believer gets the revelation, can also minister operating manifestation of gifts of healings. If you're still not delivered, get medical care. Get the best medical care you can. And everybody has opinions about medical care. Get herbal medical care? Do I get medicinal medical care? Do I get chiropractic medical care? That's up to you. I just go for the best medical care I can get. People ask how I stay healthy. I say it's very simple. I do everything my doctor tells me, and I pray fervently. That's great. Because I just don't want to think about it. I don't want to. You know, I know people that avoid medical care because they're scared of the medical world. And then they get an illness, and then we're all praying fervently for them. And they usually end up going to a doctor anyway. Again, there's no law, there's no rule about this, but I just find practically, I get the best medical care I can get, I pray fervently, and we pray for each other. And I'm healthy. I love it. You do what works in your life. You do as God directs you. But the reason I'm telling you this is don't be scared of medical care and don't not pray. A lot of people go one extreme or the other. Prayer doesn't work, so I'll just go to my doctor. Or I don't trust doctors, so I'll just pray. Why not do both? God's blessed us with wonderful medical care, and there's wonderful things in the Word about deliverance and healing. I see no reason not to do both. What you do is up to you. But that's really not why we're here, to talk about every detail of medical care. But realize that first aid, second aid, third aid are all very legitimate. First, go to God, first aid. Second aid, go to a believer to pray for you, to minister to you. Third aid, get medical care. All very, very valid. And all healing is of God, since God made the human body to heal itself. And just to remember, Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. And the root cause of sickness is sin. There was no sickness in the Garden of Eden before Adam sinned. But Jesus Christ has paid for our sins, so now we're entitled to healing. 3 John says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Because Jesus Christ paid for our sins with his blood, and because his body was broken, taking our sicknesses, healing is absolutely ours as Christians. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful saints. Thank you for their great love for you. Thank you for the joy it is to believe your word, to be able to walk on it and live it. Thank you for these impartation manifestations, that we have all the power we need to operate faith, miracles, and healings. And may we grow in our understanding of your word on these topics. May we grow in our operation of them, and just have great confidence in you and your great love and care for us as a Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.